Good evening. If you would please open your Bibles to the 77th Psalm. And that's where we're going to spend most of the evening. We'll start in verse 1 and read the first 12 verses. Psalm 77. I cried out to God with my voice. To God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open, and I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Surely all of us have had times in our lives in which we were distressed, whether because of illness or death, because of problems in our relationships, or because of bad choices on our part or the part of another. Those times seem to come often too much. So how do we handle the difficult times? How do we handle times of distress? I believe Psalms 77 can help us with this. We can find some help in the 77th Psalm. In the first verse it says, in the times of distress, go to God in prayer. Tonight I'm going to speak about three things that we can get out of the 77th Psalm. First one, go to God in prayer. In times of distress, we must go to God in prayer. The psalmist began, I cried out to God with my voice. To God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. Verses 1 and 2. Like the psalmist, we should turn to God in times of distress. God of our universe, when we face difficulty. After all, He is willing to listen to our troubles. It says, and He gave ear to me. In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. Remember that. When we go to God in prayer, He is willing to listen to us. The God of our universe, the Creator of all that we see and enjoy, is willing to listen to us. So that's the first step. The psalmist tells us, in our days of distress, go to God in prayer. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Of course, at this time, Peter is in prison. And in verse 2, it says, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was in the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered to him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. In verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Not only I imagine Peter was praying for himself, but the entire church was praying for Peter. What type of prayer? The Bible says it was constant prayer to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out, went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter had come to himself, and he said, "Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." We should go to God in prayer in times of distress. And not be too ashamed to ask that the church pray for us, that our brethren pray for us in times of distress. Let's go to James chapter 5 and verse 16. Do you believe this? James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Is there a benefit in prayer? Well, certainly there is. The Bible says that we are to pray one for another. When we find ourselves in trouble, when we find ourselves in sin, we are to rely on one another. And the Bible says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Either you believe it or you don't. What do your actions show? If you're in a time of distress, do you pray for yourself? And do you rely on the prayer of others? If you rely on the prayer of others, it shows that you believe in the power of prayer. If you pray for yourself, it shows, like the psalmist suggests, that you believe in the power of prayer. And the psalmist certainly relied upon praying to God. The second point I want us to consider from the 77th Psalm is, in times of distress, carefully consider a source of comfort. After discussing how he petitioned God, the psalmist wrote in verse 6, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search." Psalm 77, verse 6. So the second thing that the psalmist relied upon was finding a source of comfort. And that source of comfort was a song that he brought to remembrance. What's the purpose of the songs that we sing? If we sing them and we forget them when we leave the door, what benefit do we have? But songs are intended to encourage us, to build us up, not only here, but if we can bring those songs to remembrance, what a wonderful benefit they are. The psalmist certainly relied on a song that comforted him in times of distress. And I suggest that we do the same thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16 says, "Now it happened as he went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. And when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they drew them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. The magistrates demanded that they be beaten with rods. So what is the condition of Paul and Silas? Many stripes had been laid on them. I can say that this is probably a very distressful situation for them. Not only were they beaten, but they were cast into prison. Having received such a charge, he put them into the innermost prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, when all this was going on, when things were, for us, we would have estimated that they were probably as bad as they could get, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. In Paul and Silas's times of distress, they didn't give up. They didn't have a pity party and start feeling sorry for themselves. But the Bible says that they relied on prayer and they relied on the importance of song, something to comfort them in their time of distress. I know that everybody here probably has a song that they can imagine in their mind that is their favorite. And I suggest that's something that we utilize. Those words should mean something to us. Those words do speak truth. And when we are going through a tough time, we should rely on the truths that a song will teach us and comfort us. One song that I think of is "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." And when times are tough, we can rely on a song like "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." "The dead shall rise, saved ones shall gather to our home beyond the skies." Another song, "Jesus Loves Me." "We are weak, but He is strong. Jesus died and washes away my sin, watches me where I lie." What a wonderful thought. What wonderful words to help us get through a time of distress. The third thing I want us to consider, that the psalmist considered, in times of distress, remember the wonderful things, the wonderful blessings of God. In the 10th, 11th, and 12th verse of the 77th Psalm, it says, "And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." When we have troubles in our life, do we think of the wonderful things, the wonderful blessings of God? Do we meditate on the blessings that come from God, of the wonderful things that He has done in our lives, and the wonderful things that we can read about in the Bible? In Romans chapter 4, please go there, Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. Of course, this is talking about Abraham. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." What can we learn from Abraham? Let's read verse 21. "And being fully convinced that he had promised, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, that God had promised, he was also able to perform. Although Abraham was 100 years old, he still had faith that what God had promised, he was able to deliver. How was Abraham able to believe in God? How was he able to find comfort in the promises that God had made? Well, he remembered the promises that God had fulfilled all so many years of his life. All those things that God had promised, all those things that God had blessed him with, Abraham was able to look back and look at those things, and it caused his faith to be strong in God. And so in times of distress, the psalmist suggests not only do we depend on God in prayer, not only do we find a song of comfort, but we find comfort in remembering the wonderful blessings of God, just as the psalmist did, just as Abraham did, and so can we. When we face the times of distress, we would do well to follow the psalmist and call to mind the great things that God has done. Because of his love, we have a Savior. Because of his mercy and grace, we have hope. And I suggest to everyone here tonight that we should learn from this great psalm. Can we help you this evening? Are you a Christian? Do you want to become a Christian? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Well, after we hear the Word of God, what must we do? Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to believe God." To please God, but must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We also must confess Him. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, it says, "Whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father." Not only is hearing, belief, and confession necessary, but we must repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter suggests to the audience, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Can we help anyone this evening in any way? Please come forward as we stand and sing.